Welcome in Christ's name this morning. I'd just like to repeat the last verse from that last song, or part of it. Thus the transient world despising, on the Lord my hopes rely. Thus my joys from him arising, like himself shall never die. I want to talk about hope this morning. My verse this morning is Hebrews 6, 16 through 20. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and their oath serves as a confirmation to end all argument. So when God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of the promise, he guaranteed it with an oath. Thus, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be strongly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and steadfast. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, our forerunner, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Tuesday evening, when I gave my topic, I actually set out with the goal of it being very hopeful and very optimistic. And as I studied, the longer I studied, the more I realized that it was not going in that direction. And I make no apology for that. I felt like it went where it needed to go. But I believe that hope is incredibly important, and so I want to talk about that this morning. On the first evening of the Perspectives class, our speaker was Dr. Philip Nelson, and he said something that I will never forget. He said very emphatically to be very careful how we absorb the news. He said, it is noise. It is just noise. He said, God is doing more than you can imagine in the world. And what we read in the headlines is noise. And he went on to say that he believes that that noise is one of the greatest weapons that the enemy is using against Christians, at least here in America, because of its power to discourage and to overwhelm us. I read an article a while back online that I would highly encourage, called "The World Is Not Falling Apart." If you Google that title, it will come up very quickly. I would encourage reading it. Don't even know the author, although it was inspired by the work of a man named Steven Pinker, who has done a lot of study on violence worldwide. The article says, "We never see a reporter saying to the camera, 'Here we are, live from a country where war has not broken out, or a city that has not been bombed, or a school that has not been shot up.' As long as violence has not vanished from the world, there will always be enough incidents to fill the evening news." So I'll just give you some statistics from this article that I think will be helpful. Here's a quote again from the article. "The great American crime decline of the 1990s, which flattened out at the start of the new century, resumed in 2006, and defying the conventional wisdom that hard times lead to violence, proceeded right through the recession of 2008 and up to the present." I believe this was written in late 2013 or early 14, so it's a little bit dated. "England, Canada, and most other industrialized countries have also seen their homicide rates fall in the past decade. Among the 88 countries with reliable data, 67 have seen a decline in the past 15 years. Though numbers for the entire world exist only for this millennium and include heroic guesstimates for countries that are data deserts, the trend appears to be downward from 7.1 homicides per 100,000 people in 2003 to 6.2 in 2012. So, not a huge decline, but a distinct decline. The study also found that cases of violence against children are also on the decline, at least in the U.S., and since those numbers tend to kind of follow homicides and other violent crimes, almost certainly that's on the decline worldwide as well, including violence against women. Genocide is on the decline. At its peak during World War II, when Nazi, Soviet, and Japanese mass murders and other targeted killings of civilians amounted, during that time, this amounted to 350 targeted civilian killings per 100,000 per year. That was kind of a peak. That number initially didn't sound terribly high to me, although when you're thinking worldwide, if I did the math right, for perspective, this would be 1,330 people in the city the size of Wichita. So think of that many distinct targeted killings aside from homicide. And that's worldwide. So that was a peak during World War II. The current rate is less than one per 100,000 per year. And that's just in the 70-some years since then. Armed conflicts and wars overall are on the decline, even though in the past number of years there has been a bit of an increase. So, I'm glad to hear things like that. I think it's important, as it seems the news gets worse and worse, to remember that globally, the situation actually seems to be increasingly better. And many people say that the world has never been a safer place to live, and that the world has never seen a more peaceful time in its history. So I don't want us to be optimistic in a way that makes us think that everything's fine, because where the headlines are helpful is that they tell us that everything is not fine, and that's true. But I think hope emboldens us to do everything we can to make a difference. I have an example here that I find a bit disturbing, and I hesitated to use it, but I will go ahead, and I hope you can pardon me if you don't like it. But in 1957, a scientist named Kurt Richter did a rather horrible study with rats. He put several rats in a bucket of circulating water just to see how long it would take them to drown. And on average, they lasted 15 minutes. So he repeated the study. This time, just as they were ready to give up, he pulled them from the water and dried them off and fed them and put them back in the water. Those rats that were given hope swam for 60 hours, when previously they swam for about 15 minutes. So think about that. Think about in your own life the importance of hope Sometimes hope is a matter of life or death. There's also been studies that show that the rate of heart attacks and strokes go up significantly in people diagnosed with cancer. And the severity of the heart attack or stroke is directly correlates with the severity of the prognosis of their cancer. So we mustn't turn a blind eye to the evils around us, but we need to be careful what we feed ourselves on. Philippians 4:8 is a very familiar verse. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And remember that no matter what happens, our hope is not based on statistics. Maybe statistically things will get worse in our lifetime, but that still shouldn't take our hope away. It is in looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we find this hope that Hebrews says is an anchor for our souls. Don't let the enemy pull your anchor away. Don't let the enemy steal that. The kingdom is advancing, and we need hope and we need courage to stay at the front lines and to stay in the struggle. Let's pray. God, in these times when it is so easy to be overwhelmed by bad news, I pray that you would encourage our hearts. Give us the discipline to look away from the most eye-catching headlines and to look under the surface and to look for what is good and lovely and praiseworthy. Help us to put our hope in the right places, first and foremost in you. And help us to live with courage in these days. I pray in Jesus' name.